But I think when he came the first time, it was that meeting with the students. One of them was a Yale leader. I can't remember who the other was. Kyle Kelly set up the meeting. They didn't know who he was. He didn't know who they were. And they sat around and they talked about tradition. They talked about being a student here. They talked about the faculty and things like that. And it was that meeting with the students that he came back and said, I want to be around these kids. They're special. Y'all probably don't know how special they are, but you don't find these students everywhere in the world. And I think he spent a lot of time at the Equine Center. He spent a lot of time with engineering, going around. It was a miracle that the people that took him around, there were probably about 15 of them, kept their mouths shut to you guys for that whole period of time. And he and his wife thought about it and said, this is where we want to make our impact. And he came here, he saw a university that was the largest research university in the southwestern United States. In many respects, our competition is not in this state anymore. And he said, this is the place that has the potential that I want to end my career in. And he liked what he saw. He spent a lot of time going around the community. People that met him had no idea who he was. He went to different restaurants, different places, talking to people, and came away, and he and his wife, Marty, said, this is where we want to settle down. This is where we want to really make our impact in the future. And as you can see from some of the comments of people that once they found out, have sent some comments in, it is remarkable that the state of Texas was able to attract this person, and it's really going to be I think he is the person to take us to the next level academically, and also a person that recognizes and values the tradition and the spirit of this place, and somebody that wants to grow old as an Aggie. I think he's really going to be a great fit. Yes, sir.
I have a question for you. So in addition to the Aggie spirit that you speak of, that Mr. Young has, what would you say would be the biggest factor for him being the future president? I mean, what trait does he possess that really sold you?
When he was announced today, as the word of this is going through the academic community, the AAU, through all the academic community, those folks in the rest of the country are going, we need to take another look at Texas A&M. There must be something there that would attract a horse of this color to come to Texas A&M. So already he has had, before this day is out, he will have a big impact on the folks that vote on ratings and things like that. One of the things, and before I finish your question, let me just say this. That happens every time I bring someone here. If I bring someone from Sandia Labs, if I bring someone that's a professor we're trying to recruit or whatever, they spend 2 days here, inevitably, 100% of the time, they leave and go, oh my God, I had no idea. That's what happened to this president. And he has told other presidents that you won't believe what is going on in that place with the faculty, with research, and things like that. But I think the other thing he brings is that he's been dean of one of the finest law schools in the world. We just acquired a law school. He has one of the finest medical schools on planet Earth. And he built, part of what he did was build it into that. We just put the medical school into the university. So he knows where those folks are. He has great relations in Washington, D.C. If you look at the research from the National Institute of Health and the federal funding that's in at the University of Washington, it's almost, I mean, you almost have to go to Johns Hopkins and places like that to find greater strength. So he brings so many contacts and so much expertise. And, well, it's kind of like two different sources. One, a former governor of Utah, and the other one is a former, I forget where Trachtenberg is from. Anyway, he's a chancellor emeritus somewhere. They said, look, this is the best administrator higher education in the country, period. There's nobody like it. And that's what we need.
Thank you.
We need somebody that is collaborative, that works with faculty, that knows exactly what needs to be done in order to build a great research university. And this is his forte. If you look at the last two universities he was at, everybody will tell you, this is the guy that builds grand research universities. That's what the University of Washington is, and he built Utah into a pretty good likeness of that as well. We're already on our way, and I think he's going to be a great fit for Texas A&M, I believe.
Terrific match. Thank you.
I apologize if you've already explained the chicken or the egg. Who came first? Was it the search going to Dr. Young first?
No, what happened was the search firm didn't get a no. It was kind of that, and I said, okay, I'm going to go see him. So I called him, and I said, I want to come to Seattle and have lunch. And he went, okay. And we went and had lunch and got along pretty well. And I said, since I spent all this time coming here, eating your food and flying back 2 hours later, I want you to come here. And he did. A guy that helped us an awful lot was Don Adam from College Station. He provided rooms, he provided planes, you know, the whole bit, transportation, a little bit. I'm forever thankful to Don and Donna for what they, you know, what they were able to help us with. And they came down here. They met with three members of the faculty, Joanne Lupton, John Stallone, and John Gladness on the search committee. They met with the two regents plus on the search committee, Elaine Mendoza, Cliff Thomas, and they also met with Phil Adams when they were down here for 2 or 3 days. They met with Kathy Banks. They went to the Equine Center. They went to the vet school. They met with students. Many of the people they met with had no earthly idea who they were, except that they were VIPs that Sharp said, talk to them and tell them about the place and stuff like that. And when they left after that 2 or 3 days, they just went, we've never seen anything like this. It's an amazing place. Amazing community, we want to be a part of it.
Chancellor Sharp, he's here because, or you selected Michael because of his strengths, but what areas of weakness maybe at A&M might he be able to improve upon or help improve and build on as soon as he's here in any certain area?
Well, I mean, obviously he has strength in places where we want strength. But his strength has always been public research universities. I mean, that's where he's at, and working with faculty. These faculty members that were on the search committee, you can rest assured they called faculty members that had been under Michael Young in the past and asked him what he was about. And they found him to be very collaborative, very decisive, somebody that you know, was constantly trying to move the university to the next level. Helping with research funding, whether it was in D.C. or whether it was in their state legislature and things like that. And so, I mean, he's just all of the things that make a great president, he's it. And as many good people as we had in the process that we interviewed, and I think this is probably true of a whole bunch of universities because we weren't the only university in the state of Texas that was looking at this guy. As a matter of fact, he dropped out of another search a week ago Monday. That search was somewhere around Austin, Texas. And they were looking at him because of his reputation. I mean, Bob Gates is, you know, one of the statements that you'll see that Bob Gates made. He said, look, this is the first time A&M has a national academic reputation as a president. I mean, Gates had that, but he wasn't an academic. I mean, this is somebody that's viewed by the Hunter Rawlings of the world, the AAU folks, as, wow, coming to Texas A&M makes a statement on its own.
Chancellor Sharp, What would you like to see Mr. Young do with this university? What would you like to see him do with Texas A&M?
Oh, just make it the best public research university on planet Earth. That'd work. I'm not going to tell him what to do. That's why I hired him. He's the expert. I'm not an academician. I don't pretend to be. My job is to get resources to make and put the right academics in place that can make the decisions to move this university to the very highest level, period. So that's what I want him to do, and he and I are going to work very closely to get there.
During that first luncheon, since then, and your interaction with him, and as you watched him work with other people, what were his questions about Texas A&M?
You know, I didn't stay in the room when he was meeting with folks. In other words, when he met with, well, the questions he asked me about Texas A&M, he wanted to see the budget, he wanted to see resources. We would tell him about future plans that we had that had to do with turning property into money and revenue streams and things like that. And so he wanted to make sure that the resources were here. He was very impressed favorably with the way that we would take ordinary ways of doing business and turning it into money for the faculty, like outsourcing, like some of those things. He was, you know, he'd said more than once, how did you do that? You know, things like that. And we went through the process and went through some of the other things that we were doing and stuff like that. And so and what his questions of me were, tell me about the resources, tell me what's going to be available to me to move this university forward and stuff like that. But when he met with faculty members, I left the room. I didn't stay in there. When he met with students, I didn't stay in there. When he met with the different people on campus, academics and stuff like that, I didn't stay in those meetings. I just drove him to them.
Let me ask the speaker then the same question and your observations about how Dr. Young interacted.
Well, I think our faculty are going to be, and you may have heard in past presidential searches about faculty and what some of their needs and wants were. And if you look at Dr. Young's resume, I think he's going to fulfill, or does fulfill, many of what the faculty have shown to want in a president for this university. So I think our faculty are going to be very, very happy with the academic that we now have at a level, and his level is, as John is saying, is really well known across the country. And we are at a place where, with an academician in this presidential position, where we really haven't been. So we're moving, and I think it's a good move up.
If you can explain, Chancellor, the timetable of what's involved now, there's a sole finalist and what now transpires.
Yeah. Well, today they named a sole finalist by state law. 21 days have to pass before the regents can say, okay, he is the president of Texas A&M. So 21 days will pass. We'll have another meeting, and that meeting will name him. During that period of time, he and I, we've talked about a lot of it. We'll talk about salary, talk about all of those kinds of things that are in contract. He will have a contract. It'll be a five-year contract, and we'll put provisions in there and things like that over that period of time. And then so in 21 days, he'll be named. If I were guessing, we don't know just yet. He just told his Board of Regents in Seattle today. So there's, as you can imagine, a little ruminating going on there. But I would suspect James Hallmark was in charge of the search committee, talks to him virtually every day over here, who's our vice chancellor for academic affairs. And now, if you were guessing, you'd say sometime April, he'll be sitting on the ground as president. But fortunately, we have Mark Hussey, who's one of the best administrators I've ever seen. And Mark not only gave this committee the ability to take its time and really be thorough, but also gives this committee the ability to wait until the new president has got all of his ducks in line and is ready to come here. We expect him to be here shortly to meet with the community, meet with the faculty, administrators, and folks at A&M. I know he wants to get here as soon as he can get away from Seattle. He has a board meeting coming up pretty quick there, his last one, presumably, and then he wants to come here and start getting to know the Aggie family.
I'm guessing the timing is a bit sentimental because you have a couple of Regents members that are leaving the board, Chairman Adams has received an appointment to continue, but I'm sure for I think it was Regent Swartner and Watt, was it White was also
if Swartner and White are both both did not get
But their involvement, as you mentioned, with the
And the other two regents, the two new regents, are very familiar with this. We made sure they were in the circle, Mr. Albright and Mr. Mayholmes, and supportive as well. So depends on when, you know, Governor Abbott appointed very fast, but it has to be confirmed by the Senate, and so we're waiting for the Senate to have its confirmation hearings and then a vote in the Senate to confirm them. Probably won't happen before the next board meeting next week, but shortly thereafter. I would suspect by the time, very possibly by the time the vote occurs to make him permanent, around that time you may have the new regent seated.
Okay.